Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
It's all about want to.
Oh my goodness, it's hot.
Need to have.
DeAndre Hopkins caught it.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
The only person I saw down there was hot.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I'm telling you, when Tua gets done with the Chargers and the Broncos and the Jets, and he's 5-0, and everybody's paying much more attention now than before. I'm telling you.
Today's guests, host of Pro Football Talk on Peacock and NBCSN, Mike Florio, plus ESPN NBA insider Ramona Shelburne. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. I am your humble host here on a very busy Monday after a jam-packed, action-packed sports weekend. Good to see Chris Brockman over there. How are you, sir?
Hey, buddy. What's
Mike
happening,
Del Tufo
man?
Back
to
at his Rich. Post. Good to see you back there. We just saw TJ Jefferson start us off very well. Our social media Grand Maester will be joining us shortly in his chair in a second right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Dustin Johnson's got himself a green jacket. Congratulations to him. First time I've ever looked down at my Twitter feed during an edition of NFL Game Day morning on a Sunday morning during an NFL season, looking down at Chris Brockman saying, holy crap, Dustin Johnson's spitting up the lead right now, which is what I did.
And honestly, he was.
Honestly, just to show you, I'm so focused in on, you know, obviously tasks at hand.
Right.
I was kind of, you know, plus I'm kind of sleep deprived sometimes on
sure.
a Sunday morning.
Totally get it.
I literally thought to myself, oh, yeah, that's right. The Masters is going on.
Yeah.
And that's all I talked about on the show Thursday and Friday. And that's all I watched on Saturday. And they had to start early. I mean,
super
they had to get
early.
Well, they had
Sunday,
to. You can't mess with, you know, extra holes and saying, we'll see you Monday.
Right.
You know, certainly when much of the field was within, I guess, in dialing nine for an outside line of the lead, but there were a bunch of people bunched up behind, right. you know,
the
Dustin
log jam that was four shots back when the day started.
So they started early, and it was great to see the green jacket slipped on him, and it was just great to see the Masters. It was just great to see that course. There was one shot I put on my Instagram account because I just snapped it. It was on Saturday where Tiger was on, or it was Friday, actually. It was Tiger on the 10th tee with the Friday sun going down. The shots of Augusta National were just unbelievable. So congrats to Dustin Johnson. And we'll talk about that on this show. And, of course, as we're seeing on the screen, Paulina Gretzky Johnson with her own green jacket set up. From, I guess, the good friends of Adidas, that also made the rounds on Twitter and Instagram. All right. Now then, let's get to it. Let's get to it.
Let's go.
Last week, I turned to you, Chris Brockman, and I said to you, when we talked about, I think it was based on our poll question with The Running Man having its anniversary of showing up in theaters near you, who would be the best stalker? Mm-hmm. Which current NFL player would be the best stalker in The Running Man? TJ Jefferson's social media Grand Maester came up with the winner, DK Metcalf, because he ran down Buda Baker. He's the ultimate stalker in the NFL. And I turned to you and I'm like, that's the play of the year. That's the player of the year in the NFL. That's in the clubhouse for player of the year in the NFL in 2020. And maybe, you know, you could say that's going to be in the clubhouse lead for a long time to come, past the season even, right? And then I turn to you, Chris, and I'm like, what construct of a play could possibly occur to knock that out of the clubhouse lead?
Right.
And we talked about, like, the Miami Miracle or something like that from a couple
of
years ago, a bunch of weird laterals.
Yeah, of course.
You know, wound up with Kenyon Drake going past Gronk into the end zone because Gronk was on the Patriots, I guess,
knock it down
team.
Yeah, I don't know.
And he was definitely not on the I need to stop a running back team. And the Miami Dolphins won that game.
Right.
Well, interestingly, if there's a little bit of connective tissue here based on what we were saying, Kenyon Drake was in Arizona yesterday, in the building in Arizona yesterday. And that was also the same building in which DK Metcalf ran down Buda Baker. And now we know what actual construct needs to occur to knock DK Metcalf running Buda Baker down to prevent a pick six and knock that out of the clubhouse lead for play of the year in the NFL in 2020. Holy crap.
Yeah.
And in order for plays like that to occur, you need to tip the cap to the opponent for having the lead in someone else's building in a game where you're seeing lead changes, you're seeing momentum swings, you're seeing great plays from the opponent as well. And that Josh Allen throw to Stephon Diggs with less than 40 seconds to go when you think all the Bills need is a field goal to force overtime and they were taking all the time off the clock in order to leave them with the overtime forcing field goal and no time left for Kyler Murray to do, say, what he ended up doing. And sure enough, it's a throw to Diggs to set things up for the finish. And the finish is something we'll be talking about for a very long time. Dubbed the Hail Murray.
I love it.
In Arizona, 11 seconds to go. Down four, needing a touchdown. Field goal doesn't work. Murray rolls to his left against the grain, if you will, rolling away from what would think would be the momentum side of the field that he needs to launch that thing half the field in the air. And he throws against the grain of his body, but twists as he's about to fall out of bounds to gain the momentum as if he is rolling to his right, puts the ball in the air, sends it to his all-world wide receiver, who rises above three other sets of hands, throws into triple coverage. You cannot say to the Buffalo Bills, how did somebody not mark DeAndre Hopkins? They marked him three times over.
He was covered.
It was two hands against six. And he comes down with, you can't even call it a 50-50 ball. And again, the reason why it's called a 50-50 ball in the NFL is it's a coin flip. It's either you or your opponent that's going to get it. You throw it up for grabs, and whoever wants it more, whoever wants to moss the other, will do it. But it's not. It's one on three. I don't even want to do the math.
25-7.
Well, actually, Next Gen Stats did the math. Ian Rappaport tweeted that out. That according to Next Gen Stats, which plugs everything in and turns the crank on the math, Kyler Murray's touchdown Hail Murray TD pass to Hopkins had a 16.9% completion probability, the third most improbable completion of Murray's career. And then Ian added the perfect response. Cannot believe two were more improbable. And I can't believe, I mean, that's a larger number than you'd think, 16.9%.
Sounds way high.
The Bills forced Murray to the side of the field that they needed to force him to. I know he was rolling that direction too, but they almost got him also. And they were all over him all day long. And they did a terrific job of frustrating Kyler Murray, who ended up taking the lead down 23-9, took the lead 26-23. Scored a ton of unanswered points. And then the Bills, I mean, if you just take a look, I tweeted one out, and I Instagrammed out the screen grab of the win probability chart that ESPN.com has, where based on during the game, they come up with the math as who's most probable to win. It really was up and down. It was like the worst EKG you could see, and how the Bills went from losing the game to being a 99.9% probable winner to 100% loser. And DeAndre Hopkins is amazing. It is remarkable how he's not targeted 50 times a game. I mean, it's just, I know you got to get everyone else involved, and I understand, you know, you got to be balanced. Right. But I mean, the guy catches everything, and the times when he doesn't, it's like he's been fouled pretty much every single time. His catch radius is absurd. His ability to grab the football and not lose it is absolutely been testified to by that catch, leaping above everybody and coming down. I mean, there's three guys ripping it out, and they had no shot. I mean, the vice-like grip, it was over. That's a wrap. Play of the year. End of story. Hands down. And his response after the game, he went to the podium and said this.
You know, in basketball terminology, that's what they call this. You know, when somebody get dunked on. But it was on three people. Yeah, that was, you know, they were in position. It was just a better catch by I.
A better catch by I. You want to incorporate that today? Oh, so, you already got
it's
that.
Already incorporated.
You already got it on your grease board. Yeah.
Dude, that was incredible, man.
I reached out to one of the top PR people in all of sports, Mark Dalton, who is in charge of media relations at the Arizona Cardinals, asked for DeAndre Hopkins to call in today. He asked DeAndre Hopkins, who, what's the words for it? Hop, here we go. I'll read it for you. Hop politely passed on all the one-on-one requests he's gotten and only did the post-game session. You saw that sound back from right there. Paraphrasing, he paraphrased, quote, "Let's let the play speak for itself," end quote. DeAndre Hopkins.
I think that's fair.
I think me can understand that. I just, you know, kind of reversed the polarity on that.
I see what you did.
Yep. Look at the, you know, the reactions across Twitter. It was amazing. LeBron, I wonder if, did he know Anthony Davis was going to decline the $28.7 million option to become an unrestricted free agent when he was tweeting this out? Something we'll talk about with Ramona Shelburne in the third hour.
And overreaction Monday.
Okay. At any rate, play of the year. Play of the year. And the ramifications, I mean, that big, fat boulder thrown into the NFL playoff pond. The Arizona Cardinals in first place in the NFC West, because the Rams came off their bye week and
shellacked Seattle.
Well, I mean, they absolutely hit him hard.
Yeah.
And Jalen Ramsey shut down the aforementioned DK Metcalf, erased him, even though Troy Aikman was pointing out many times during the game that Russell did have the one-on-one coverage necessary and just didn't try him, didn't look his way. I just think Russell was out of sorts, man. And that'll happen when Aaron Donald is coming your way and the rest of that defense, a couple of times Floyd was unblocked. I mean, that's 2 weeks in a row that Russell Wilson has not been cooking at all and other defenses were turning up the gas. And no Chris Carson and no Carlos Hyde will absolutely throw things off. So I'm not ready to throw Seattle out, but the bottom line is there's 3-6-3 teams in the NFC West and the Los Angeles Rams, with that win, combined with the Hail Mary, put the Cardinals in first place right now, and the Cardinals and Seahawks kick off Week 11 in 3 days on Thursday Night Football. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. And the Buffalo Bills' loss, they head off into a bye week now. They're just a half game in front of your rampaging Tua-led 5-game winning streak Miami Dolphins, who are now 6-3. And next up for Tua is Denver, which turned it over 5 times against your Las Vegas Raiders. And Tua is now 3-0 as the starter.
We're going to keep doing this?
Yes, I'm going to keep doing it.
Okay.
Yes, I'm going to keep doing it. And my Hall of Fame friend, Gil Brandt, who I follow on Twitter, pointed out that Tua's got 5 touchdown passes and no interceptions this season. He's won each of his first 3 starts and joins Carson Wentz as the only rookie quarterbacks to win their first 3 starts and have 0 interceptions in so doing in the Super Bowl era. And I understand, well, look at Carson Wentz now. Forget that. Come on. Let's not forget what Carson Wentz looked like out of the box, and we're not throwing Carson Wentz out just yet, even though many in the NFL have, based on what we're seeing in the NFC East, in which your New York Football Giants, Joe Judge, coached Football Giants. If Evan Engram had only caught the ball a few Thursday nights ago, it would have swept the Philadelphia Eagles this year and been right on their heels, as opposed to being the only other three-win team in that division. That's interesting.
What is up with that?
And then there was last night. Now then. I know Lamar came on this show and said other teams are calling out their offensive plays prior to the snap. That wasn't an issue last night, okay? That wasn't an issue last night because I don't think you could hear what the defense was saying over the pounding rain and the swirling wind,
right.
Okay? And the Ravens came out when you think that maybe, you know, the Patriots will be on to them. Ravens came out, scored first. That Lamar touchdown throw to Willie Snead in the third quarter to start leading what we thought would be the eventual comeback here, because everybody thought the Ravens were going to win this game, was dynamite. Dynamite, especially since Cam had a wide-open Jacoby Myers in the end zone and dirted it. And he said today, when he made his radio appearance locally in Boston, it was like throwing a medicine ball. So last night's conditions were awful. But just when you think the New England Patriots are out, they pull you back in. And I know that the Ravens are going to be a focus of a lot. The Ravens are particularly banged up. They're missing a ton of linemen, both sides of the ball. The Patriots took advantage of it. They've got themselves a nice, decent, I'm not saying solid, because he looks a lot better than that, running back in Damien Harris. Cam, if he can avoid making the mistakes, like, say, fumbling the ball on the way in to try and tie the game in Buffalo, for instance, this team is not done yet. It is not done yet. And I understand everybody thinks that they don't look like the Patriots that we're used to seeing, but that was a Stones major cojones W last night against a team in Baltimore that is licking its chops coming in because they had just come back from the first halftime deficit in Lamar Jackson's career in which they won a game. They looked really good against the Colts. I'm sure a lot of what was said on this show and based on the nonstop chatter in the media. We talked about it on game day morning yesterday as well. And I think anybody who's looking at it will say, and it you know, I'll admit it, I'll say it too. It's not that big a deal. It happens a lot. Kurt Warner was saying when you're a quarterback of a team and you're standing there and you're going to run it to the right and you hear the defense scream and we're going to look out for the run to the right. You're like, oh, man.
Right.
It happens. The Ravens issue to me, outside of the fact that they are particularly injured, again, they've lost two top-notch linemen on either side of the ball. Their issue to me is who's the playmaker other than their quarterback? Who's the guy that's going to beat somebody in one-on-one coverage? Mark Andrews? Look, the Kansas City Chiefs have a top-notch tight end too. So does San Francisco when George Kittle's healthy. That's not the only thing they've got going. You got to look out for a ton of other weapons. When you're looking at the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers, certainly in last year, what do the Ravens have? Mark Ingram is banged up. You know, Gus Edwards and Dobbins and Ingram together, when they're cooking, they're really good. But the problem is, what happens when you need to be cooking a lot faster and a lot more prolifically in a short amount of time? When's Hollywood Brown going to start flashing? Last night, again, it's rainy and what have you. You could say that, but
kind of throw out.
No, you can, but it still isn't there. Who is it? And are they going to raise their hands and come to the fore in the next 6 weeks?
That's why it was even more confusing. They had fourth and one, and they run Mark Ingram in the Wildcat.
I'll tell you, Matt.
I know the center had a lot of issues last night.
But I know I sound like a get-off-my-lawn type guy when I say this, because I saw my alma mater do it, down 28, knocking on a doorstep when we knew points were going to be at a premium, and if there was any hope of coming back against Wisconsin. You're going shotgun on fourth and goal? I mean, like, what? Right? Why do you take Lamar off? Why do you go shotgun without Lamar even? It's just sometimes it's easy for us to sit where we're sitting on a couch, you know, and make these decisions or call things out like this. But the offense and Lamar and the Ravens are just not in sync right now. And the issue is who's going to step up and make a play for this quarterback? Because it was needed last night, and it didn't happen. And of course, when the Ravens get the ball back, and they have got no timeouts left, and they've got to travel the length of the field with a minute to go, that's when it rains the hardest. That's when it rains the hardest. And I've been around, Bill. And I've got a couple cents on this subject later on. Because Cam thinks he's got like an easy button. Cam's statement last night is amazing. What's the poll question over there, Chris?
All right. So we're looking at second place teams in the AFC. So it's a little specific, but all of these teams are 6-3. Which of them has the best chance to win the AFC and reach the Super Bowl? Second place in the AFC. Looking at the Dolphins.
6-3.
Ravens.
6-3.
Titans.
6-3.
Raiders.
6-3. By the way, there's a first place team in the AFC South that's 6-3. And there's a third place team in the AFC North that's 6-3. There's 6-3 teams in the AFC, and there's 3 in the NFC, and they're all in the same division. And the Browns and the Titans are 6-3, and they're sniffing it, and there's an extra playoff spot up for grabs this year. Craziness.
Crazy.
And the Bears can join the 6-win club tonight, which is remarkable to say in week 10 about a team that could have done it in week 8.
And if you've watched them play offense, how do they have 5 wins?
Lost in week 8, lost in week 9. Could they lose in week 10? That's something to talk about later on. Mike Florio is on this program. And then we're going to talk with Ramona Shelburne because she and Woj and Zach Lowe had quite the scoop over the weekend. Looks like Harden, the plausible, possible eventuality of demanding a trade, is on his brain. And he's thinking about the Nets. I've got a lot of sense on that subject. Overreaction Monday coming up. There was an incredible new display put up at the Pro Football Hall of Fame I want to hit on. You might have missed it because it occurred over the weekend when you got the Masters in college football.
A lot of other stuff.
And the NFL. There's a lot of stuff going on. So as always, you know, I love pounding the table for my friends and colleagues at the NFL. At the Pro Football Hall of Fame in the great city of Canton, Ohio. So we'll take a break. That's how we're rolling. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Your phone calls and so much more here on this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. And, of course, I'll put my thumb on the poll question scale as well. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. Hey, everybody. If you're a business owner, you don't need us to tell you that running a business is tough, certainly these days. But you might be making it harder on yourself than necessary. How about that? Don't let QuickBooks and spreadsheets slow you down anymore. It is time for you to upgrade to NetSuite. Stop paying for multiple systems that don't give you the information you need when you need it. Ditch the spreadsheets and all the old software you've outgrown. Now is the time to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle, the world's number one cloud business system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control over your financials, HR, inventory, e-commerce, and more. Everything you need all in one place instantaneously. Join over 22,000 companies using NetSuite right now. So let NetSuite show you how they'll benefit your business with a free product tour at netsuite.com/rich. Schedule your free product tour right now at netsuite.com/rich. netsuite.com/rich. NBC Sports on Peacock is back on the air with us right now. We took the show, the channel from Dan Patrick. We'll hand it off to Brother from Another with Michael Holly and Michael Smith coming up at 3 Eastern time. And the gent who starts us off and wraps things up for us, Mike Florio, will be joining us at the top of hour number 2. And there's lots to talk about with Mike. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. I was, you know, thinking about having a second poll question today. We could save it for later on this week. Certainly when the Seahawks and the Cardinals kick things off on Thursday night as to who's going to win the NFC West. This is just a dynamite season for this highly competitive division right now, with the 49ers sitting 2 games behind a bunch of 6-3 teams. As we're back here on the Rich Eisen Show radio network, we say hello to our terrestrial radio listeners, certainly here in Southern California on the Mightier 1090, where, again, yesterday in Southern California, the Rams, you know what? It's amazing to me here how a team in the second media market in the United States gets overlooked. West Coast football usually does get overlooked anyway. Certainly the Pac-12 doesn't help any matters, and you know, but it's the second media market in the country. You've got a number one overall drafted quarterback who doesn't regress. Okay, how many times can we say that he does have bad clunkers, Jared Goff? But the fact of the matter is that there's no like clear. He's not the clear. Like if you're listing a bunch of quarterbacks who are top 10 in the league, you don't hear Jared Goff's name ever mentioned.
Nope.
You're looking for the top wide receiver in the NFL. Okay. You don't mention Cooper Kupp or Robert Woods. You don't mention either of the tight ends either. When when I mentioned Mark Andrews earlier, although Everett scored again last night and Higbee made some really good plays. And then the running backs, the Rams running backs by committee is making people insane fantasy-wise, because you know the fact that they started, Cam Akers got the start yesterday.
I know.
Malcolm Brown scored twice, and Henderson got some, you know, quality rushes in as well. And at least you could hang your hat a couple years ago when the Rams made the Super Bowl on the fact that they were a high-powered offense with a wunderkind coach that was dialing everything up, and Todd Gurley was the clear offensive star of the team. Now, you know, it's Aaron Donald's team. It's Aaron Donald's team. The Rams is Aaron Donald's team. And now you add Jalen Ramsey to the mix, where he essentially can erase your top weapon outside the numbers or in the slot. Again, I know Troy Aikman was pointing out that DK Metcalf did have the one-on-one coverage that when he was playing, and if Irvin had it, Irvin was getting the ball, and DK didn't get a single target until the second half and didn't make a catch until late third quarter. And if the Seahawks come in with DJ Dallas and Alex Collins, the River Dancer, if I'm not mistaken, Alex Collins was the old River Dancer back in the day. You're not really worried, certainly, if you've got Donald to stop the run on the way to the quarterback. That's not going to concern you. So now you got Jalen Ramsey on the back end of the defense and Donald up front. All right, now you're not talking about the Rams because why? You're out here in Los Angeles. You don't have a lot of the players on fantasy football. You're not playing, you know, their quarterback is on your fantasy bench, you know. And that's why. Fascinating to me. Fascinating to me.
Yeah, Sean McVay's still there. Heard a great stat, 31-0 when the waiting at halftime. You know, I don't know why no one's talking about the Rams. I think they should be. They really shut down that high-powered Seattle offense that has not really looked the same in the last few weeks.
It certainly, you know, and it certainly didn't help that they went to Buffalo and got blown out only to make it all the way back in, but lose on a terrible referee officiating call, and that the 49ers are a team that's in last place, and they lost to them. But let's not forget, when they lost to the 49ers, it's when Jimmy G was coming off of that win in New England and Kittle was still active. It's not the same team that we saw in New Orleans yesterday.
Right.
And this is another story. It sure looks like, and we'll talk about this with Mike Florio, top of hour number two. It sure looks to me as it's Jameis Winston time in New Orleans. Because Drew Brees, who was on this show last Tuesday, it was, I guess, dealing with, as he said, cumulative effects of being a 41-year-old guy going through the season. And he just got absolutely hit and landed on yesterday. And he's got a rib contusion, right? That's what they're calling it right now?
That's what Ian Rappaport said, yeah, rib contusion.
A rib contusion. And I can only imagine, as a 51-year-old, what a rib contusion as a 41-year-old must feel like. And he went up to Sean Payton, Drew Brees, yesterday and said, I don't think I can go right now. And as Sean Payton pointed out after the game, first time in 15 years that Brees has ever said anything remotely close to that to Sean Payton. So it sure looks like Jameis Winston is going to get some run here for the team that is no longer the one seed. Don't ask me why. It's kind of like tiebreak stuff when you've got multiple teams having the same record. Not just two teams, but more than two teams having the same record. That because there were a bunch of 6-2 teams going into week 10 that the tiebreak put the Saints atop the NFC. But now that Seattle no longer has the same record as the now 7-2 Packers and Saints, it's just a straight-up tiebreak, and the Packers beat the Saints in Week 3, 37-30. So the Green Bay Packers are now your one seed in the NFC, and they're kind of like the Rams, where, all right, I see you, I got you, but I'd rather talk about other teams or something like that, but the Packers do have Aaron Rodgers, and they do have Aaron Jones.
They do,
have
but Devontae Adams. Really struggled yesterday to beat Jacksonville.
Yes, they did. But the Packers are now number one overall in the NFC, and their next game for Green Bay is going to be at Indianapolis, which will be an interesting cross-conference contest. And New Orleans next up is going to be against Atlanta, which is always a throw the records out. They just despise one another contest.
They really do.
Despise one another contest. Anybody from Atlanta will tell you they despise the Saints. And anyone from New Orleans will say they despise Atlanta. And this will have to be infused into somebody who's been sitting in Tampa for all these years, and I'm sure Jameis will be, if he does get this start here, gonna have to be. I mean, the bar's been set by Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah, undefeated.
I'm serious. 5-0.
Yeah.
Teddy did it.
Right.
Let's see what Jameis can do. I'll say this too, just front loading the conversation, because it's coming if this happens. We'll see what happens when you see a guy who can launch it 40, 50 yards down the field, what the offense looks like. And then all of that nonsense will be dredged right back up, despite the fact that Drew Brees is a first ballot GOAT Hall of Famer and has this team at 7-2. Okay. So that's all coming down the pike. I like front loading everybody with information and narratives, despite how many hats are worn with tinfoil when they say this sort of stuff. But that's the NFL week to week.
I mean, the first ballot GOAT Hall of Famer that gets told to split out wide while a gimmick quarterback comes in and runs it up the middle. Like, come on. Tom Brady's not splitting out wide.
Well, they also don't have somebody like Taysom Hill in Tampa. At least not yet. At least not yet. But you know what worked last night? Was Jacoby Myers to Rex Burkhead.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fluke plays.
Dude, it's not fluke. It's not. No, no, no,
it
no,
is
no.
a fluke play.
It's not fluke. It's a trick gimmick play. It's a trick play.
That ball hung up there so long, the defensive back just gave up on it.
Or it was a perfect throw.
I mean, I know Jacoby Myers played quarterback.
Hell of a night, man.
Like, come on.
Hell of a night.
The Patriots are not a good football team.
The Patriots are what they are, and what they are is a winner against the Ravens in 2020 on Sunday Night Football when nobody thought it would happen. And I will tell you this.
But it says more about the Ravens than it does New England.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't.
Oh, I completely disagree.
Uh-uh.
The Pats are a few plays away from being 7-2 right now.
Look. Here's what it says
smoke
about...
Smoke and mirrors, man.
But it take whatever you've got to do.
You got to win the game, baby.
Damn straight.
But they're not good. I mean, come on, guy. I've watched every single snap.
I know that.
This says more about the Ravens and what they are not than it says what the Patriots are.
Or you play who you play in the moment in time in which the game says you must play it, just like New England had to do against Kansas City. That stunk. Sorry, your quarterback... who's been dynamite the first 3 weeks of the season, is COVID positive. We're sorry, you're going to have to play the game on Monday anyway, after wondering if on Sunday you should get on a plane or not. So you need to play
on
Monday.
That game should have never been played.
But it was, because
in
the NFL,
I understand,
you've got to go when the league says you're going. And last night, the league says you're going, and what they did was take a shot in the mouth from Baltimore, come back, tie the game, put enough pressure on the other quarterback where he makes an absurd mistake before the end of the first half.
Yeah.
When it's 13-10 and you think that you just tie it, all you got to do is just get 10 more, 5 more yards. You could possibly have gotten 0 more yards for your potential future Hall of Fame kicker. And instead, Lamar decides to go and test that kid whose name, I'll be honest with you, escapes me right now. He's been
JC Jackson.
He's been amazing.
He's been awesome.
Okay.
He's got a pick in 5 straight games.
Again, because you guys in New England are who you are, which is let's coach up the guys that we have. Do your job. And this kid is doing his job just when other teams fall apart. Don Bowie, play the Cam Newton sound now, please, for 2 reasons. I'll explain the 2 reasons why we're playing it. But this was Cam after the game last night. Go for it.
Everything that coaches throughout the week, it tends to come up. And, you know, I'm beginning to think he either has like a Staples easy button or a Buffalo Wild Wings button or just a straight direct line to the football guys, because he's like a football whisperer when it comes to anticipating what the game's going to be like, how we need to win and things like that. I'm extremely impressed with that. But for me, trying to find ways to keep this team in a manageable situation offensively is one of the things that I have to keep doing and keep doing a better job at.
Okay, so 2 things. Reason why we're showing you that. 1, for the radio audience, he was wearing a fez, okay? A gray fez with a gold tassel. If the tassel was gray or something similar, it literally would have looked like it was straight out of Casablanca, a black and white movie. Instead, it is rakish, it is wonderful, and is definitely the reason why you're not dressed as Cam today, because you don't have a fez at home, right? I mean, you're not...
I don't, and okay. I wasn't anticipating a win, so I
understand.
Was...
understand, it was a blind spot for you.
Yep, totally.
You weren't expecting a win.
Totally.
And you were not expecting fez.
I was not.
Okay.
I never
so
expect
So you're
fez.
Expecting loss and non-fez.
Yes.
Got it. 2, the reason why you shouldn't be expecting losses is because of what you just heard. In Bill, you trust. I know the narrative the last couple of weeks is his draft choices aren't doing very well, and he's basically said you're taking your medicine this year cap-wise because of everything else that's gone on. to give you all those championships mm-hmm. the last few years. And it's been accused in New England of him excuse making and all of that. When it comes down to it, guys you've never heard of, who I needed to ask you his name, and I cover the NFL for the NFL Network and the show, who keeps coming up with picks because they coach him up. Him and his son, I might add, coach him up. Number of Michigan Wolverines that have been coached up over there. I've lost track.
A lot of Rutgers players, Mike.
Okay. And I saw in person what Cam's talking about. I don't know what Cam is saying that Belichick has been saying over the first 10 weeks of his time there in New England that suddenly happens in a game. But what he's saying is the reason why the Patriots appear to be all the time the most situationally prepared team on the field week in and week out. Because Belichick has seen it all and has taken mental notes about it all. And I saw him on the set of NFL 100 all-time team show for a day and a half, 2 days, hung out with the guy. And the number of times he would say, this happened when I was a defensive coordinator with Parcells. This happened when I was a coach of the Browns. This happened when we first started out in New England. This happened when I saw it on March of Broderstaff. This happened, that happened, this happened, that happened. And makes a mental note of it and shows it to his team. And tells them about it. Perfect example. I'll repeat it again here. If you're new to these parts, where the hell have you been? And I'll tell it to you again. He told the story when Jerry Rice was sitting on the set. That they, the Giants, when he was a defensive coordinator, went into the game and said, there is no way Jerry Rice is beating us. No chance. Now you're saying, great. All right. Brilliant. What a concept to try and make sure Jerry Rice doesn't beat you. 2 minute drill, they're down. He says, ball gets fumbled. No timeouts left for, I think it was Young. No timeouts left. Fumble. Everybody has to run back to the line of scrimmage. His team is not ready. Snap the ball. Jerry Rice amongst the Chinese fire drill going on the Giants defense because they were not prepared for the ball to be fumbled at the snap, creating a huge mess with no timeouts left and clock ticking. Niners get set, find Rice, touchdown. And he's like, we're not going to let that happen to us. And he tells that to everybody every year in New England. I sat there, thought to myself, how does this guy ever lose? There are other brilliant coaches in the league who have been around situational football. John Harbaugh has been around football his entire life, thanks to his dad.
I have no explanation for what happened.
I have an explanation for what happened. This guy has a mental Rolodex and will never forget it. And just to tie everything together in this segment, Sean McVay's got that too. And he's just getting started, man. He's just getting started. I mean, he's about, 20 years away from his first senior moment. Where he'll just forget, did I leave the stove on? He's about 20 years removed from that. He's seen it all, and he remembers it all, and he will infuse that in his team over time. That's why Cam keeps seeing stuff happen in games that his coach is preaching all week long. And that's why, Chris, you should not expect a loss, and you should be ready for a Fez.
I'm going to do my best here in the next couple
all right.
of days.
So just focus. That's all I'm asking you to do is focus.
Bro, you've got Belichick, and you're just bitter. Like, I would love to have Belichick coach in Dallas.
We got to say,
every week I'd have a chance.
No, he's not bitter. He's not bitter. No, he's not bitter. Trust me. It's just he's not used to,
I've just watched the games. I know. They're not good.
No, they don't look. They're not as deep or as talented as previous years. That's a fact.
When you have 8 guys opt out and you don't have a single offensive weapon that would start on anybody's fantasy team.
Right.
You shouldn't expect to win games.
And Brady's not there to fix a lot of problems.
Look, I would totally still feel like I'd
Brady had more touchdown passes yesterday than Cam has all year.
No, understood. But all I'm saying is, what does that matter to the Ravens right now? Nothing.
Well, the Ravens aren't going anywhere, man.
And that's part of our poll question, too, isn't it? at Rich Eisen Show. Which current second place team that's 6-3 in the AFC, Dolphins, Ravens, Raiders, or Titans, has the best chance to win the conference and make the Super Bowl? Vote on that at Rich Eisen Show. When we come back, we'll take your phone calls. Mike Florio, top of hour number two. Ramona Shelburne, as it's NBA draft week and rumors flying everywhere. Right here on the busy Monday.
Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Ready to get away from it all? Free yourself with Pluto TV. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows all for free. Yeah, free. No contracts, no subscriptions, no fees. Imagine 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android or iPhone and start watching now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.
Hello to our Peacock audience. Hello there. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. I just voted on the poll question.
Oh.
Just voted in the poll question.
Legal vote. Okay.
Yes, that's correct, Chris. They count. Look at you going a little political humor over there.
Thank you. Well, it's
you're letting be your umbrella.
I'm exhausted.
We all are, sir. We absolutely all are. But I still think the French blue underneath this charcoal sweater is working.
I think that's a good look for you.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
It works with the color scheme.
It's not a fez, to be honest, but then again, what is?
Have you at least...
We were Googling where to pick up an overnight fez.
Mike, have you helped him with Google? Are you?
Yeah, I found one for $360. Whoa. And Brockman's definitely not
by
throwing
way,
that money.
By the way, that fez that Cam was wearing.
Oh my God.
We're back here on our radio. We're talking about Cam's fez. That fez has got to cost...
Easy.
Four figures.
Easy.
Four figures. More than that.
No.
Well, by the way, and it's also, as you could see here in this...
Like mid-fours.
As you could see right here, it does look like there's some rain on it. Like, that's a risky lid to wear in the weather that he was wearing last night.
Well, it looks suede.
That's
right?
Beautiful. Yeah, what is that, velvet?
That's a suede fez. By the way, Cam Suede Fez is a great...
Not bad.
Fantasy team name.
Not bad.
Cam's Suede Fez.
Was it Suede?
We know. I mean, that
was an album.
That to me is the clubhouse leader.
Cam's
for our 2021 fantasy team name, Chris.
Suede.
That's
Fez.
Like the Kyler Murray to D Hop, Hail Murray of our fantasy team name.
Screenshot that.
Who would have sang right Suede now? Fez if it was a song?
Oh. Gosh,
Cam's
Suede Fez, maybe
Todd Rundgren.
Rundgren, Suede Fez.
Yeah,
I think that's the name of his acoustic album. by the way, we could do this for another 10 minutes.
Who is
Suede Fez?
You're
live.
Putting that above plausible, eventual possibility, though. Has that?
That's not really
not
a fantasy.
That's not a fantasy team name. That's just in the Hall of Fame of information hedging.
By the way, I'm changing my team name to that.
To Cam Suede Fez?
No, to plausible, eventual, possibility.
Oh, you definitely should.
Speaking of which, let me get it right. It was the plausible eventual possibility. Is that the phrase? Is that the phrase?
Plausible eventual possibility.
Okay, and again, we took that from an ESPN.com article. I think Woj was a part of that article as well.
Yeah, it was a combo.
Talking about how no trade demands from Russell Westbrook or James Harden yet. Okay. By the way, me just stumbling on that makes me think of my dad, my late dad, who once said to me, because, you know, when I started doing my sports casts in Reading and then was on SportsCenter, and my dad was watching way more sports than he ever did in his entire life. Again, I got my sports love from my brother, not my dad.
Okay.
He once called me up and he said, "How do you keep saying Mitch Richmond like that and not stumble all over it?" He was like amazed. So
that had to make you feel incredible, though.
Well, my dad would just call me up and just say, "How do you keep saying Mitch Richmond like
Mitch
that?"
Richmond.
At any rate, Russell Westbrook nor James Harden, according to that article last week, had asked for a trade demand yet, but called the trade demands a
plausible, eventual possibility.
which came to the fore apparently with Westbrook.
Yeah, when Shams
last week.
Yeah,
saying he wants out, and he's looking at the Clippers. Right, he wants to come to the Clippers, or the Clippers are in whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. And now James Harden wants out.
Now James Harden wants out, and that's part of the reason why we have Ramona Shelburne on, because it's NBA draft week. Dennis Schroeder is apparently coming here to be the Lakers guard, right?
That's right, because KCP is opting out.
Mm-hmm. And Harden wants to go to the Nets.
Unbelievable.
Oh, boy. Let me just say this on this front. I want no part of this as a fan. In the NBA. No part of this is a fan. I'm sick and tired of everybody teaming up against each other. I'm sick of it. I don't want it anymore. It stinks. I don't like it. I honestly don't like it. The super team era, I don't like it anymore. I understand two guys want to get together, but to say, you know what? I like Kyrie and Durant. I want to go join them in Brooklyn. I think it stinks.
You started the super team, bro.
That was Draymond Green screaming about LeBron, right? When LeBron was talking about
the parade,
the Warriors getting Durant and winning. He gave voice to, I think, a lot of people.
You started the super team, bro.
That said,
he's right.
That's me as the fan. Me as the sole purveyor of the Rich Eisen Show Dolan wormhole.
Black hole.
Yes, Neil deGrasse Tyson said the wormhole means you're transported to someplace else. Yeah. But I am transported into a rage-filled state.
But a black hole, you get lost, which is...
Whatever.
We want to be correct.
I want this to happen so everybody goes to Brooklyn. And all the celebrities who come on this show and dance around the subject of their owner being the worst in sports because they want to not be thrown out by Kevin of security or whoever he sits on all the Knicks fans who tell him to his face he stinks on ice. I want everybody to go to Brooklyn. All those celebrities. Hey, Dad. Hey, Mom. It's Durant. It's Kyrie. It's Harden. Why do you take me to this place in Manhattan where everybody sucks? That would be just the final nail right in the Knicks coffin. Oh, yeah. Come on out and watch Barrett and Ntilikina. Is he still even on the Knicks? I don't even know. Watch the morass. Watch everybody come together and fall in love with a second-round pick who's got plucky ability. The 2021 version of Jeremy Lin. Let's all pour our hopes into somebody we've never really heard of because maybe he'll lead the Knicks out of the morass. No. Build the super team in Brooklyn. That's part of me. That's the thing. That's the yin and the yang here for me. That's the yin and the yang for me. Part of me as a fan is just like, really? Do I really want to watch another super team come together? Durant, Kyrie, and Harden? Is that even fair? Like, what does that even mean? So I got to root for another team that hasn't built themselves that way to win? Is that what I want? No. Do I want, as a Knicks fan, to watch them become totally irrelevant because this owner must sell this team? Because everybody's going to Brooklyn? Kind of dig that idea. Kind of dig it. A lot.
Nets become instantly the most hated team in the league if that happens.
Well, and Harden's got a great chance to win it all, doesn't he? How real is this? Ramona Shelburne coming up in hour number three, setting that table up. Your phone calls, 844-204-RICH. If you're on hold, stay on hold. I promise you we're going to take your calls. Sit back and listen to one of the best in the business and Mike Florio tell us what's going on. I believe he spoke to Kyler Murray after last night's Hail Mary, as a matter of fact.
Mm.
So Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio will be joining us, Ramona Shelburne, and then you. I will give you the floor along with... our usual Overreaction Monday segment. Chris, get ready for that. That's all coming up in hour number two. For our radio audience, we'll see you then. For Peacock, stay right where you are. You didn't think I was going to go down a Dolan wormhole or black hole today.
I did not.
But that's what I thought of. That's the way my brain's working.
Yeah.
Mommy, Daddy, please take me to see R.J. Barrett. Mommy, Daddy, why are we seeing R.J. Barrett take on the Phoenix Suns when my friend's parents are taking him to go see Durant and Kyrie and Harden take on the Warriors? Why are you dragging me here to hear Dolan sucks in this place where there's no energy because the owner does in fact suck, Mommy and Daddy? You think that's...
Frank Ntilikina is still on the team.
Yes, yeah. Of course he is. Of course he is.
Didn't Matthew Modine, you ask him that, and he said he couldn't?
He wouldn't do it. Every celebrity says, I will not do it. Wait till Harden shows up. No, you want no piece of that.
Kevin
Knox.
Dennis Smith Jr.
Julius
Randle.
You know what? It's off island. At least we could just take an Uber here in Manhattan. What are we doing?
Wayne Ellington.
Let's go see them. Forget about
Mo Harkless.
Yeah.
Some guy named Theo Pinson. No idea who that is.
Theo Pinson, everybody. I think he's a starter on my fantasy team, Cam's Suede Fez.
Kenny Wooten.
See you in about a couple minutes.
Hello, everyone. This is Eagles Hall of Fame quarterback Ron Jaworski, and I am so excited to bring you the hottest new podcast for the NFL and gaming. Welcome to Jaws Picks, featuring me, Ron Jaworski, and some of the most famous names in sports, music, and entertainment, as I give you my expert analysis and predictions of each and every NFL game. So far this season, my predictions are over 55% correct against the spread. That's a pretty good number, folks. And over 67% picking winners straight up. You do not want to miss out on this podcast. Every week, I will tell you who, how, and why each NFL game will be decided. Take the guesswork and stress out of gaming and subscribe to Jaws Picks wherever you get your podcast. That's Jaws Picks wherever you get your podcast. Stay safe, take care, and let's make some beer money.